Hey, Stellar Woman fans, I'm your host, Mary Rectoris.
And I'm your co-host, Mila Taylor. Stellar Woman shines a light on female leaders making the mark in tech.
For today's episode, Mila and I are chatting with Betty Nguyen, and Betty is part of our inaugural Relativity Fellows program.
Betty, hi, welcome.
Hello. Hi, Mary. Hi, Mila. I am like with eDiscovery celebrities. This is so exciting.
Wow.
Betty, thank you so much for joining us. We're so excited to have you. So you, to start us off, for listeners who may not be aware, what is Relativity Fellows? And can you maybe talk us through the program and talk about your kind of your favorite bits of the program?
Yeah, of course. So the Relativity Fellows program is a 5-month long program, and it has a big emphasis on learning. So essentially, we spend the majority of our time in a classroom setting, learning from product experts as well as industry experts. And it's taking basically like overlooked talent and giving them an opportunity to work in the e-discovery industry. My favorite part of the program definitely has been meeting all the people that work in eDiscovery, all the people that work at Relativity. I mean, there's so many different facets of it. So you get to meet a lot of really cool people and learn a lot of really cool new things. All of the fellows will be certified users by the end of the program. Some of us will be pursuing our Relativity Certified Administrator certifications. So all of that is part of the 5 months.
And for anyone out there that is an RCA, I have not had the opportunity to take it, but I know it's hard. So help help a girl out and maybe comment some study tips and tricks.
Yes, please. All the fellows are studying for it right now. So it's been nonstop the last few weeks.
Goodness. Yeah. I did the RCU.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. All of us currently have the RCU, which is super exciting. We finished that.
That's like, awesome.
Yeah. Like 3 weeks ago.
That's awesome. Yay. That was also a big feat. That one's hard.
It's hard for me too, Mila. I was like, oh my gosh. So Betty, you kind of mentioned that some of the fellows are come from overlooked or come from non-traditional career paths. So can you talk a little bit about your own background and how you got into tech and maybe why it's important to kind of look at candidates who don't have that traditional resume?
Backtrack to when I was in school, I was studying to be an electrical engineer. I kind of thought that that was what I was going to be doing. And a year and a half into it, I dropped out to pursue DJing full time. So I did that for several years. I actually still like do a couple of contracts before COVID. I was like still DJing. And then I also pursued a career as a personal trainer. And so that's like pretty non-traditional. But fast forward to like March 2020 and COVID happens, I was no longer DJing, no longer working at the gym. So I was looking for something different. And I've always wanted to work in tech. It's what I was studying. And so I thought that I could go back to it. Pursued like a certification. I did Google's IT support certification. So that kind of helped me get kind of like just the mentality back, like figuring out how to troubleshoot things and having like the tech mentality, I think was like really important for me. But then the Relativity Fellows opportunity opened up, and I think one of the big things in tech, like it moves so quickly, things are growing so fast. And I think that you really need new ideas to grow with technology. And when you have everyone from the exact same background, you don't really get those new ideas that you need to grow. So I think that's why it's really important to consider people that might not have the same backgrounds and look at people that like are from overlooked communities or overlooked talent. You need new ideas to grow in technology, and you can't get that all the time when you have the same kinds of people contributing.
And we talk about diversity a lot, both as an organization and on the podcast, and that variance can bring different perspectives to the table that make your teams and your projects and your company stronger. So I think that's a really cool point. Have you met anyone famous in the DJ world?
So the company that I worked for is like really, really cool. And we've done a lot of pretty big events throughout Chicago, but I got to meet Flo Rida. That was pretty cool. I opened for DNCE, like Joe Jonas had just started like DNCE. So I got to open for them at a show once, which was really cool. 12-year-old Betty was like, oh my God, I'm meeting Joe Jonas. Like that was crazy for me. Like I get to sit with him like in the green room and stuff. I've also opened a show for Bastille. like in 2014, I think. So I've done some like pretty cool things. I've like met some people. Dan from Bastille said he liked my shoes. That really stands out to me. So yeah, I've had to do some pretty cool stuff DJing. So I'm really happy to like to have that experience.
I'm sure. Like fangirling right now. Like I went to the Joe Bros like back in the heyday when they were like first coming out.
Nice. Like, yes.
Nick Jonas was also a type 1 diabetic, so I was sure we were destined to be together. I think he's married, so the verdict's out, but you know.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I'm like blushing. That's awesome. And we like spoke before this call, and I was saying how that being a DJ is just still, I have two dreams. One is to be a DJ, and the other that I don't know if I've ever like admitted on air live is to be Annie in a Broadway play. I think because I'm 5'2", like I understand I'm an adult and I do not necessarily look like Annie, but I'm 5'2", like they could pop a wig on me, like, and I think I'm done growing, so I still hold out to be Annie one day.
You can do it, Mila.
One day, come for on. Sure.
Thank you guys. I appreciate it. Okay, I'm going to jump right all over the place, and something that I have to ask because I feel like it's my Australian duty to ask on it. So another former Stellar Woman guest, Inez Rubio, she was also an all-star rugby player like you are. So I kind of wanted to chat a bit about rugby and what got you into rugby and your career as an athlete.
Yeah, absolutely. So I played football in high school. I was the only girl on an all-boys football team. I went to Walter Payton, go Grizzlies. From there, like I had a couple of friends that ended up playing rugby after high school. And so one of my good friends was like, yeah, like you should totally play. And after like a year of him bothering me to go play rugby, I decided to go sign up and play for a women's team. And it was awesome. Like right away, you like make instant friends basically. And I loved the sport itself. Like the game was so much fun to play. So I've been playing for like 7 years now. It's been quite a while. And kind of throughout that, I play for Chicago North Shore, which is in the Women's Premier League, which is the highest level of rugby in the U.S. So it's like the best women's competition that you can get in the U.S. And because I play in that pool, a lot of those players play for the U.S. Women's National Team. So that was always my big goal, is to get noticed by the U.S. National Team and play for them.
That's so cool. Mary and I sitting here like with our smiles like to our ears, like
wow. We talked about this on a recent podcast. Whenever I hear people with like cool hobbies, it's like I pet my dog and I watch shows. And that's,
I mean, I literally Googled the other day like what should my hobby be? Interesting.
Did you find anything?
No. I have a question just about your thoughts on American football compared to rugby, because when I watch it, I'm like, this is a crazy game. No one's doing it. It's like it's all stopping and starting. No one's actually like, there's no game being played. Yeah. I grew up watching rugby.
So I watched football all the time, as you can imagine, like in high school and before I was introduced to rugby, like was really into football, like watched every Bears game. Now that I play rugby, it is kind of hard to sit and watch a football game because it stops so often. I think there's like, they do like statistics on it. And I think that in a football game, there's actually only 11 minutes of actual playing because there's so much stoppage. And then, but in a rugby game, like it's an 80 minute game and there's like action for 80 minutes of it. So I don't know if that's like a real statistic or if like rugby players just say that to make themselves feel better about playing rugby over football. But that is what I have heard.
Well, yeah, it's like whenever there's a game and if my boyfriend's watching, he's like, there's only, you know, 5 minutes left. I'm like, no, this could be 2 hours. There's yeah. No world where this is even a half hour of time. It drives me. It's fun times here, fun times.
Yes.
Anyway, I do want to give Inez a quick shout out because in February, which is crazy that that's already coming up, she will be presenting alongside our very own David Horgan for Legal Week on data protection and data privacy. So as that agenda comes out, be sure to check out that session. Okay, Betty, going back to you, your rugby career stopped professionally, I think earlier in 2019 or?
So summer of 2019, I was named captain of my rugby team at the time. We were kind of marching towards going to the national championship. We've played in the national championship tournament before, so the year previous. So we were kind of marching towards that again. And I really had it in me that I was going to like lead the team to a national championship for the first time. And in 2019, the season has just started in June. So I had been training at that point for like 2 months leading up to June. And in the very first half of the very first game, the very first tournament that we played that summer, I got injured. So in the very first half, I like got into a bad tackle. And at the time, I didn't think that it was very serious. So I actually got myself taped up at halftime and like went back into play the second half. And then like the very first play, I realized that I couldn't run. And so, you know, went through kind of the whole medical process, got an MRI on my knee, and I realized that I tore my PCL. So that's like a ligament in the back of your knee, which is like, it's a season ending, like a season ending injury for sure. Time, I was definitely in denial. I like told all my teammates, like, just give me like a couple weeks and I'll like, you know, be in shape and I'll be back. But that's not how it ended up happening. I was out for probably like 8 months before I could return to the field. And yeah, that was like a really hard time. But during that time, because I wasn't playing rugby anymore, it kind of opened up the avenue for me to start coaching rugby. And so Loyola University women's program was looking for a new head coach. They hadn't had a coach for 3 years at that point. And so they asked me to take on the program. And so that fall, I had the time to commit to it. So I did.
Was not in your plan, right? And I think that kind of was a way to still foster that passion for rugby and your love of the sport.
Yeah. Yeah. Not at all. So at that point, I was thinking like, okay, I'm going to have a great summer and I'm going to be the captain of this team. I'm going to lead us to nationals. And then that'll be my shot. Like the U.S. national team, if we win nationals, like they have to notice me then. So I was thinking that I was going to get into like the player pool. I was going to get asked to play at the Olympics. You know, that was kind of my plan. That was like how I wanted to get noticed. You know, of course, that didn't work out with the injury. So yeah, it was definitely like steered me in a different direction. But before I took on the role coaching, I definitely thought like my playing career is over. Like I'll never touch a rugby ball again. And once I started coaching, it really gave me the motivation to like keep playing rugby. I love the game so much more now that I'm a coach. It's been like the coolest thing to like teach someone how to play. Is just like so much fun. I've gotten so much out of being the Loyola coach. And it has like kept me in it. So like I'm playing again, you know, I'm playing at the club level and that's been really fun too. And I didn't think that I could do it until I started coaching. So.
Awesome. And just kind of rewinding back and obviously share as much as you want, but when you have that injury and so you kind of said in the beginning, you were in this denial phase and then of course you get to a point where the denial phase kind of ends and you enter the point of realization, like, as you said, like, oh my gosh, my rugby career is over. Can you talk a little bit about how you kind of handled that situation? So before that, this coaching job, or even what led you to the coaching job, kind of how you had that when your path was just completely changed and what your thought processes were? Were you weighing options? Just kind of talk us through that part of your life.
Because I was in a leadership role for my team, I think that it helped me kind of stay a little bit more engaged. Like I still showed up to every single practice, you know, I was there because I still wanted to like help the team out any way I could. So being involved a little bit that I could be was, I think helpful. It was really hard. I would say that like looking back on it now, I don't think I realized it at the time, but looking back on it, I definitely slunk into a real like rut. I was probably depressed for like a couple of months there. I just like, it was really hard for me. I wasn't motivated to do anything really. Like, but not having rugby made it just so challenging, made everything else so challenging. And like looking back, like, yeah, I probably was in a pretty like deep depression for a few months. That was really hard to get out of. And it took a lot of support, like from my teammates. Like my teammates were also told me that I would be able to come back. And at the time I didn't believe it myself, like for sure. Didn't think that I would ever be back. Every time I showed up to practice, they're like, you know, you're going to be playing again. Like, don't worry about it. You know, in a few weeks, in a few months, whatever, but you'll play again. Fortunately, my girlfriend also plays rugby. So that was a really big help. Like all the time she like told me that I would play again. So I think having people around you that like really believe in you is super, super important. when you've kind of lost your path. Like I had my mind really set on something and I'd been working towards it for years. And all of a sudden, like everything that I worked for just went away. So there was definitely a long like grieving process with that.
For sure. And I think that's applicable for a lot of us either listening to the podcast, whether it's your career, you don't get that promotion you worked all year or years for, or maybe, you know, you could have gotten laid off and you're unsure, do I want to stay in this industry? Do I love what I do? And you're reevaluating when you didn't really have that time or space, or even in something in your personal life, there's always things that kind of change how we perceive ourselves and we envision our life going.
Yeah, it was cool that you could like channel, you know, the passion and love and interest in the sport a different and cool, exciting way. And it's almost like you have to, you were playing at such a high level that I feel like you probably knew all there is to know about the sport. But then when you kind of take a step back and look at it in a different, you know, lens from a coach, it's like, you have to learn it. You have to learn about the sport again in a different way. And it's cool and it's exciting. So you touched on this a little bit before, and on the podcast, we talk about this quite a bit in different ways, but you kind of spoke about building your support network. And we referred to it as like kind of building your village, both in your career and in life. So when your life kind of took this unexpected turn with rugby, who was your support network and what were some of the things that they did to kind of help you and empower you?
Yeah, I fortunately, like a lot of my friends, my family were pretty involved in my rugby career. Like a lot of them fortunately took the time out to like come to my games and stuff, which is really, really cool. It's really nice when your friends like care about like what you're doing in your life. And so, and when I told them about my injury, a lot of my friends like reached out, like asked me if I needed anything, assured me that I'd be back. That was always really nice. I think like the reassurance of like, you know, everything is going to be okay. Even then, like, we're like, yeah, even if you don't play rugby again, it'll be okay. You'll be all right.
As you've gotten into tech and kind of changed careers, if you ever had something exciting you wanted to talk about or something cool, who have you added to your village, or how have you kind of found new people to recruit to kind of be that support system, whether at Relativity or even in the industry?
In the Fellows program, we all get a one-on-one mentor. My mentor is Laura Atkins. So shout out to Laura. She's great. I love working with Laura, and her like big thing is like connecting people. She's really good at it and really likes doing it. And so she's introduced me to like a ton of other people. It's awesome. And so I've been able to make a lot of connections. I've really gotten to build my village through Laura for sure. Literally, I think one of our conversations on Slack was at 8 p.m. on a Wednesday or something. And I like had a, just like a thought, like a philosophical thought that I wanted to share with her. And I was like, I'm sorry for the late message, but like, what do you think about this? You know, responded right away. And she was like, LOL, like, don't worry about the very late message, like put it in quotes. I'll give you my thoughts on this. Like, and we do that kind of stuff all the time where like, I literally just think of something and kind of bounce ideas around with her, which is really cool. And so like, whether it's career stuff or not, whether it's, you know, philosophical or life or just whatever, it's really cool to have someone where you can just bounce ideas off of, vent to.
Yeah, Mila and I were talking about this. I think it was in an unrelated meeting. COVID, especially that we're all remote, work and life are blending so closely together. So you rely on your coworkers sometimes to just be like, I'm feeling really weird. I haven't talked to anyone. I haven't left my apartment in 3 days, or just stuff like that, where it's yeah, so much more intertwined.
The lines are definitely blurring. And so it's nice to find, for the longest time, people had, you know, their work village and then they had their personal life village. And it's now it's gotten this point where it's like, you're looking at me right now in my living room and my dog is growling in the background. Like, you're getting to see me in this different way. Yeah, that these like lines are blurring. And it's kind of nice to have these people at work who can be in your regular village. You know, I think it's kind of a silver lining of us being in this wacky world that we're kind of in at the moment.
Cool. So Betty, I know you said Fellows, you're taking the RCA, which I'm sure is eating a lot of your time and energy, but the program's coming to an end, sadly, in January. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. January 22nd is our graduation date.
But it's happy news too, because you can are getting placed in an organization, whether that's Relativity or somewhere else. So what's next for you? What excites you, whether Fellows related, work related, rugby related?
Yeah, for sure. That is like one of the most exciting things about the Fellows program is like guaranteed full-time placement. I think that's so cool. Like there aren't many things out there that can guarantee that. That's really, really awesome. I started the Fellows program. I thought that I wanted to be a software engineer. I kind of put all my eggs in that bucket. I was like signing up for coding boot camps, like looking into that, spending all my free time, like looking at how to code. And then, you know, I started the program, met a lot of people, talked to Laura a lot, my mentor. So I realized that probably isn't for me, which is good because that's around like when placement time was. So we went through interviews and now I think I really want to go into product management. I really love the people aspect of relativity and just working in general. I think building relationships is one of my strengths. And I didn't really realize that until I started the program. So I certainly learned that about myself. I think that that will hopefully, if, you know, if I go into project management, I think that that's something that I can take, like one of my strengths that I can take into a project manager role. But that's career-wise what I hope to go into. And I think that relativity has been a really, really big supporter in that. So that has been really awesome. As far as rugby, I'm hoping to play again whenever things open back up. I have my fingers crossed for the summer of 2021. Hoping to take my team to a national championship. I really have to get into shape first, so I need to start working out. But, you know, I have 6 months, so I feel okay about the timeline.
Well, I'm really excited for you. Just from the conversations that I've had, I gather that you are someone who puts their mind to something and does it full force, and that is awesome. And no matter what you do, that will just bring you great success. So,
well, Betty, we were so excited to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
And also, I just want to do a quick PSA here for our listeners. If you listen to this, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts through the mobile app. It really helps us. That would be a huge, huge help.
Yes, that would be awesome. And for Stellar Woman, I'm Mary Rectoris.
And I'm Mila Taylor.